Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Hello, good morning, good evening, good night. You're listening to the podcast because you'll just listen to the intro that came before it. But on this episode, we're going to talk about how we don't understand the gravity of how we affect people in their lives.
Yeah, positive and negatively.
Positive and negatively. We're also going to talk about Jeff's power being out, maybe signs of depression and everything in between, because it's called Everything is Traumatic. We have a great leeway.
And I've got actually power today because we've got a cat on a wheel.
Cat on a wheel. Just grinding.
Mm-hmm, just flipping. We put all the cats to work building, creating electricity, so...
See, Jeff is the greatest example of pulling yourself up by the bootstraps and putting those cats to work.
Putting the cats to work. So if you hear any kind of strange yowling, that's what that is in the background.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything.
Don't call the police.
And don't call animal control, because those cats need to earn their bread.
Yeah. Yeah. What have they done for us? Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
They just lay around licking their ass.
They do. And licking their tummies. And then, like, they present your tummy or present their tummy. Yeah. And then you touch it and then they get mad.
They tear you apart. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of contradictions.
Cats are much like humans. We're walking contradictions.
Yeah. Let's do some shout outs, man.
Yeah. Before we get into it, we're going to start doing shout outs at the beginning of the episode. So, of course, our Saint. What would we say? Our saint.
Patron saint. Saint. Is there a female version of saint?
Saintress? Mother? Would it
mother?
Be sister?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no. Women can be saints.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's all equal these days.
But yeah, I'm sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, man. We're good. So Tiffy Stallsworth, of course, are just the person that keeps us moving, that we do the show for. Mm-hmm. She's just been a big support. I think she listens to the shows multiple times each, so we appreciate her.
Oh, yeah. Always internally grateful for Tiffy. Also want to give a shout-out to Jacob Boyd, who I spoke with just yesterday, and he told me that he listens and really enjoys it. So, Jacob, thank you. We talked about doing a crossover with Talking Indies and My Undies.
Oh, and traumatic.
Yeah. Talking in our undies is traumatic, maybe.
That is traumatic for anybody that would have to be there and see us.
So maybe that could be on the horizon. Jeff, you said you had someone you wanted to shout out to.
Yeah. We want to shout out to Nathan Day. He's I don't know if he's listening to the podcast, but he's a supportive human being, author, actor, raconteur. In the best possible way. And so he's always a supportive person, puts up with our shenanigans. So definitely him.
Yeah.
And Seth Young has been listening, I think. So that's good stuff.
Thank you, Seth, as always. And Nate, if you happen to hear the shout out, go back and listen to the other episodes. And thank you for playing along with the shenanigans. I have one more person I want to shout out, and that is Vivian. She is a longtime listener, first time caller. mm-hmm. Now she's super sweet. She's super nice. She's always sharing stuff. So Vivian, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. I am eternally grateful for you.
And let's not forget about Ken, who is the glue that holds us together.
Oh, yeah. Let's shout out Ken.
Ken is always supporting and posting and sharing and, you know, I know we are forgetting people. We appreciate anybody that's listening or anybody that has been nice to us as a pair or as individuals.
Yeah. And if you guys want to shout out, just reach out to us, message the page. We check it fairly, regularly. Yeah. And we'll shout you out in the beginning of the episode. So that's it for our shout outs.
Gratitude wise, I want to just start with the person that I'm talking to today. The gratitude of just being interested in having these talks. I mean, you and Cody We had known each other, but y'all reached out to me about a project, and that project was fun, but it didn't quite work out. But that sort of evolved into this project.
Yeah.
And you and I have been very supportive of each other's, just each other. And you're always asking me questions, checking in on me, laughing at my jokes, you know, going along with me. I think you are the man. We're like a circle. So it's like, you're the younger me, I'm the older you, we're very different. We're just sort of this cycle of life.
Yeah, we got this Looper thing going on. That's a deep cut if you guys haven't seen Looper.
Yes, definitely.
Where future Bruce Willis has to take out his past self, which is played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt? Or is that reversed? I think it's reversed. Yeah, it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt that's trying to kill Bruce Willis. That's future him, which is weird. That Joseph Gordon-Levitt turns into Bruce Willis when he's older. I don't know.
Yeah. Great movie. One of Rian Johnson's, I think it's Rian Johnson's earlier films.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant movie. I think it was probably one of the things that got him the Star Wars gig.
Oh, 100%.
And I mean, we may disagree on this and we may alienate some viewers, but I thought his Star Wars was the best of the new ones. So anyway.
I think his was the most interesting.
It was different. It was not just the pure formula kind of stuff. It had some problems.
If it was a standalone,
it was interesting.
If it was like standalone by itself, I think it is.
Yeah.
But everything that like it sets up is kind of undone by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, J.J. Abrams was called in to fix everything. And J.J. Abrams is a great. Well, shout out to J.J. If you're listening, J.J., we've got ideas for movies. We got some stuff. You're a great filmmaker, solid filmmaker, but you are able to take stuff and fix it and make a crowd pleaser.
And you just know how to play it safe. We can throw in as many lens flares as you want, JJ. I'm totally fine with it. It looks cool.
There, I know y'all can't see this because this is audio, but there's a lens flare right now in my face.
Yep. Yeah, I got one too, just for JJ.
All right. Shout out. We'll pour a little lens flare out for JJ on the ground.
I pour a lens flare out for my JJs. All right.
Oh, JJ.
Oh,
yeah.
JJ.
So definitely thank you, Tyler, for just people are so complicated, but you have such a positivity and a joy to you that it's fun to talk.
Oh, well, thank you, Jeff. I don't see myself as a joyous person, but I am, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we were talking about before we started recording is that we see the impact that other people have on us with little things. I mean, it can be a tiny thing where somebody just says hello or treats you nice or sends you a little silly meme, and we appreciate that. And we don't always tell those people about that, but we really have trouble seeing that we've had an impact on other people. And I think that's the thing to realize that we do have impact on other people, whether we know it or not. And so, you know, sharing that with other people so that we know, letting people know when they've affected you in a positive way or given you something that sort of was like, hey, I needed that today.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very hard to find those like rare moments of like human decency. It seems like, I mean, everyone feels just very uptight. Everyone is just like very avoidant. They don't want to talk to people. They don't want to like shoot the shit or anything. I mean, yeah, of course some people do, but I guess like a really good example for me was like yesterday, just this interaction at a gas station where like, kind of chit-chatted with the person that was ringing me up, and it was like a pleasant interaction. They weren't like shitty. They weren't just like they weren't, you know, they were just very like nice, and that in itself does wonders for someone's day. So like if like an interaction like that with a stranger can make someone's day, we can only imagine how talking to like your favorite person or your best friend or like this person, how much they just enrich your life and make you feel like you're not alone.
We're so detached and we're also so much on autopilot that we get into these ritual kind of things like, how are you doing? We don't really care how they're doing. You know, it's that kind of just nicety, but we're not really interested. But sometimes we are. Like, I went to get my medicine the other day, my medicine from Walgreens. Shout out, you want to sponsor us, Walgreens? We're open. if Mr. Walgreens is listening, we're certainly willing to be sponsored by you.
Shout out to my boy John Walgreen.
That's right. So anyway, I like go up to get my meds. The lady's super nice. She goes, "Do you have a cat?" And I'm looking at my shirt thinking, "Do I have hair all over me or something?" Mm-hmm. She's like, "No, you've got scratches on your arm." And I'm like, "Oh, that's very observant. Yeah, I have three cats." And then she's like, "Yeah, I have two cats." And so it's like we shared the little cat. It was like 2 seconds, but we shared this little moment of cat love. Mm. It was very nice. It was just her recognizing me as a human, me recognizing her as a human, and then we had a transaction, and then it was done. But it was pleasant.
God, and that's especially bad for people to look at people in, like, workers in customer service jobs or serving yep. jobs as just less than human. And, like, the way that they talk to them, like...
Yep.
I can't fathom why anyone like would do that. And I sit here and I say that, but I talk shitty to insurance companies all the fucking time. So fuck them. That's different. That's
it's very easy. And I get caught up in this. It's very, so like our power was out for 75, 76 hours. Jeez. It's very easy to get angry at the, so it's LCUB. Shout out if you want to sponsor us, LCUB. We'll be glad
to L Cub. Shout out to my boys at L Cub, taking 76 yep. hours to turn the power back on.
That's right. But you know what? You know, I get mad and I'm like, I'm going to call them and I'm going to complain. And then it's a memory of that person I would get on the phone has no ability to help me because they're not up in the trees fixing stuff, and they can't, it's not their fault. It's not their fault that the infrastructure is messed up. Mm-hmm. And so we remembering that even if you're calling a large corporation who has harmed you in some way, the person you're talking to has not harmed you. And so it's hard. It's okay to ask for what you need, but if we can treat people with respect, even in those kinds of things, which I sometimes struggle with because I'm mad, you know, but I was able to tell myself, you know what? There's no need to call LCUB and talk to the person that answers the phone and be angry with them.
Yeah. And we kind of forget that because these corporations are just a faceless entity. It's like,
yeah, it's different. If you've got the CEO on the phone, you can yell at them.
Yeah.
But not the low level person that is paid minimum wage or basically very little over minimum wage. It's not their fault. None of these things are their fault.
And that's the problem. If we got the actual owners on the phone, they would, I don't know, that would change things, but it's like, that's not going to happen.
They could fix the problem. They at least have the power to do something, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something controversial here. Mm-hmm. If you go to McDonald's, and they put pickles on your hamburger, and you didn't want pickles, take the fucking pickles off and eat it. It's okay. You don't have to yell at anybody, okay? I mean, there's no... And even if they totally mess it up, like they say, no ketchup and mustard, that's a little harder to get off of. Just politely just say, could you make one without ketchup and mustard? Mm-hmm. No, nobody is conspiring against you to harm you by putting mustard and ketchup on your sandwich. So yelling at them, the person that's making minimum wage and just trying to make it through the day, you know, they're doing their best. It's a mindless job. It's a hard job. Yeah,
it's so funny how fucking pissed off people get. Like,
there's three pickles on my hamburger.
I have this very distinct memory of like, of getting like some fast food with my dad, and I was like, had a friend with me, and like they messed up our order. And so, like, he drove around and, like, bitched him out, and, like, we got the right order and that order. And my dad was just like, when you fuck up, you gotta pay for it. It's just like, God damn, dude, it's a fucking Wendy's burger. It's not like you got a Wagyu steak or something. What the shit?
You know, and it's like, even at a nicer restaurant, a fancy restaurant, the waiter's not cooking your food. They are not the one that makes it, that cooks it well or whatever. It's, I mean, this is part of my passiveness. I'll just eat most things. I mean, I'm generally pretty passive, and it's like, okay, this isn't how I want it, but I'll eat it. You know, it's okay. But even if you have to disagree, there's a nice way to do that. Hey, the steak is a little underdone. Could you cook it a little longer?
Uh-huh.
And still tip them the same. Don't be like, all right, steak's not well done or not done enough. There's a dollar off their tip, because that's how they live. Mm-hmm. They're getting paid. Servers are getting paid like $2 an hour.
Oh yeah.
And then tips.
Yep.
It's a crazy way for a corporation to say, you pay our wages.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. and Mrs. America, we're not going to pay our wages. That falls on you.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to our profit.
Yep.
You have to pay our people.
I know so many servers whose paychecks would be like zero just because of like paying taxes.
Yeah, right. It's all cash. I mean, they get all, it's all mm-hmm. in their tips and cash.
So Jeff, when you go out to eat and say like your order is wrong, does your wife speak up and is like, actually, he didn't order this?
No, I will speak up for her.
Okay.
Like, oh, this is sweet. But I'm not mean about it. Right, I mean, again, right. So like, cause she's a vegetarian. So we went to this restaurant and she ordered avocado toast. Okay, I'm going to repeat it. Avocado toast.
Uh-huh.
And it had eggs and stuff on it and whatever. So the avocado toast comes out. No avocados. None. There's no avocado on it. So I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, there's no avocado in here. So when you order avocado toast, you're assuming that there's going to be avocados on it.
Yeah.
So we call the lady over. Very nice. We're just not going to yell at everybody. Hey, there's no avocados on here. Oh, I'll fix that. So they bring it back. We're eating. I mean, my friends and I are eating because we don't want our food to get cold. She's just sitting there with no food. They bring it back with a unripe avocado cut on it. So it's like rubber. And so we're like, there's avocados now, but they're like rubber.
Yeah.
And they're really nice. They're like, well, we're sorry, blah, blah, blah. So we did talk about it, and they actually comped the food. We did not ask for them to comp the food.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that comes out of the waiter or waitresses kind of thing. And we tipped normal.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't probably going to go back there, but we're not like, oh, I need to talk to the manager. Where's your owner?
Yeah.
I'll burn this place down.
Right. Like, your dissatisfaction with the food should not affect someone's livelihood.
Exactly.
Like, it's
food. So I tip 20% plus, usually more. Especially, and this is another thing, especially your like delivery folks, tip them more than 15%. And I know everybody cannot do that. I'm in a place where I am able to do that. Not everybody has the money to do that.
Right. I try to do 20. Yeah. I try to do 20%.
Tip your people that are door dashing or whatever, tip them well, tip them an extra 50 cents or whatever. I mean,
and see, that's another, you know, thing. Again, like with a door dasher or a server, like, especially if you get a good server that's nice and like is pleasant to you, doesn't check on the table too much and shit like that. Like, that affects someone greatly, I feel, you know?
Yeah.
Or even leaving that tip, like leaving a really good tip when you can.
Yeah. I mean, that might make their day. I mean, every now and then, like, well, I'll just have the money or the cash or whatever, and I'll leave a really nice tip.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope that helps the person. Maybe they've had a bad day, whatever. You hope that is able to push them through the rest of the shift or whatever. So, yeah, that's a way to be nice to a stranger and help them maybe. Maybe they've got a big bill coming up, and you can give them an extra $10 or something that might really change their day.
Yeah, because sometimes that's just the difference. Is that extra 10?
Yeah. I mean, seriously. And never, never leave a tract, religious tract, instead of a tip.
Yeah.
If you want to wrap a religious tract in a $50 bill, I'm okay with that. and I'm sure the server will be okay with that.
Yeah.
Do not get some of those things that look like money.
Oh my God.
And then you open it up and it's a track. Don't do that.
Those are the worst. Those are the fucking worst.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want somebody to become part of your religion, leave them a really good tip. And the track is fine after that. They'll probably throw that away immediately.
Shit,
but
yeah. If
leave them a really good tip. And it's just like, okay, maybe this person is a decent person and I maybe would like to listen to what they're talking about.
I mean, if I was a server, I wouldn't, but I would appreciate like $50 tip and those like over the top pamphlets.
Yeah. I mean, those are funny. If you're gonna what's the guy's name? The chick tracks. Those little booklets. I don't know if people, this might date me, but there's these like, I forget what his name is, but they're like little comic books. And they're pretty horrific and violent, but it's always about going to hell. But they're like sometimes I've got actually a small collection of those.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're just so I'll next time we get together, I'll give you one because they're so bizarre.
They're very over the top.
It's almost like you remember those EC comics or those old crypt comics where they were really violent and stuff. It's like that, but with a message. Nice
religious twist on it.
But the art is pretty, is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very violent. There's a lot of burning in hell at the end. Yeah.
Well, you gotta appeal to the youth somehow, and the youth likes violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
interesting with the power out that because we never go outside our house to talk to anybody. So people were out milling about and you would say, is your power on? You know? And so it's like, nobody was mean. Nobody was yelling or screaming. It was just sort of like, how you doing? Is your power on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully they'll get over here, you know, and it's not the guys in the trucks that are, they're going from, I mean, basically, they were going down Bob Gray Road from subdivision to subdivision fixing problems. And every single subdivision was messed up.
Yeah.
So they did the best they could do, the fastest they could do it. Knoxville's not set up for a disaster of any kind.
Right. No, it's really not. Well, because, I mean, and this is just something I've heard all my life, but it's like, we live in the valley, so it's very rare that a tornado would come through.
Or flood. I mean, we sort of just miss everything.
Mm.
Every now and then we'll have, like, this wasn't a bad tornado compared to bad tornadoes where towns are destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a pretty rough, I don't think anybody was hurt or killed. I may be wrong about that, but the destruction to property was pretty bad. A lot of houses had roof damage. A whole apartment complex basically is unlivable now.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah. So, I mean, for our Knoxville, it's pretty bad. And we just don't have the infrastructure set up. Florida's got that stuff, like, just waiting. They've just got parking lots full of supplies all year long, trucks on, ready to go, because they get 800 hurricanes a year.
Yeah, they have a hurricane season.
Yeah, yeah. It's like baseball season.
Mm-hmm.
We put on our hats. We watch the hurricanes destroy everything.
If baseball is America's greatest pastime, then hurricanes are Florida's greatest pastime. Yeah,
exactly. And now there's no insurance in Florida, so it's like...
Yay!
Yeah. It's like, hey!
No insurance in Florida.
We can't make money doing this anymore. We're gone. We're out.
Oh my God.
Take your risk on your own, man.
That is the most Florida thing.
Yeah.
Insurance out the fucking door.
No insurance. No health care.
Nothing.
No books.
So I'm sitting here wondering how do we better understand the effect that we have on people's lives. Like, how do we be grateful for that, but not egotistical about it?
It's a good question.
Like, I could see it going in a very extreme direction where it's like, I'm the greatest thing. Your life is better because I'm in it.
Just for you being around me. I'll just walk in. I mean, I don't think you do things, you don't do acts of kindness for something in return, mm-hmm. unless it makes you feel good. And then that's great. It should make you feel good to do something kind, but you're not expecting something in return. And so it's like, I know it's like sort of corny, but it's like, it costs nothing to be kind. Mm-hmm. Really focusing on number one, be kind as much as possible. Even if you have to ask for no pickles, be kind about it. It's a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's not something that was, you know, thrust upon you because they've got a conspiracy against you. So it costs nothing to be kind or gentle. Mm-hmm. And also just hoping, I mean, it's okay, I think, to have a little ego and go, hey, I gave them a nice tip. Hopefully that helps them. That doesn't make you a great person, but it is a nice gesture, and it's okay to feel good about that.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's just when you take it to the extreme.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, I'm going to leave, like, there's a whole bunch of TikTok folks that are, like, giving people $1,000, $2,000 tips, which mm-hmm. is great, but they're filming it for their channel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're taking the homeless guy and getting him dinner on video. Yep. It's like...
What is that called? Performative charity or something? Yeah.
And if they're really giving somebody $2,000, that's great. Do that. You know, like sort of like what Mr. Beast does. He does some crazy stuff, but I mean, a lot of people get money from that, but he's also using that to monetize his channel. So, I mean, you don't have to tell people about it. You don't have to like,
I wish Mr. Beast knew how to smile like a human.
Yeah, he is like a beast, isn't he?
He kind of just smiles like a nervous dog, where it's like the teeth, and it's just like this forced grin, and he's like, I'm curing blindness.
He might be, you know, and that's the other backlash, right? I think that at his heart, he is trying to help in a fun, entertaining way. But what happens is people start to be like, oh, he's helping too much. Why is he helping too much? Why would anybody help somebody unless they've got some kind of negative thing? I don't know anything about him, but yeah, and he tried to do something and he got raked over the coals for it. So,
well, and that's, I think that's just the problem of like with humans is that we're so used to being detached and cold and like, the world's a cold place. Life is tough. Dick and butts. That we when we see kindness and if it's genuine or not, we're skeptical of it because people don't do kind things.
Right. What do they want? What are they trying to get from us? Is I think the thought.
What is their end game? Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean there is a whole group of, and I call them grumpy old men, and you can be a grumpy old man or woman, whether you are a old man or woman or whatever. Whole thing of like, I had to pay for my student loans, and so I don't want anybody to get their student loans paid off. It's just like, how is this harming you? This is, you know, it's like, I had to work hard in my life to get in. It's just like, you know, it's just this whole thing of like, okay, so you had a hard life. I understand you had to work hard. But does that mean we shouldn't have other people get the benefit of something just because you didn't get the benefit of something? Mm. That's a very selfish kind of viewpoint of, think of how many people would be helped by student loan forgiveness. Millions of people.
And it kind of plays into like, because I mean, I don't have kids. And I mean, you don't have kids. You have three healthy cats.
Three healthy cats.
Who are powering the house as we speak.
Yes, exactly.
But it seems like when you have kids, like the whole point would be like, give them a better life than you had. But
yeah,
instead, we want to pass on just this. It's almost like a family heirloom of just struggle. to struggle because I struggled and we're going to struggle. And it's like, if we're going to struggle,
I'll give you a loan for college, but you will pay me 10% back for each. It's, yeah. I mean, I do understand you don't want to give your 18-year-old just unlimited money, because part of life is about maturing. But if you can make their life easier, if you can help them, and some people can't, they just, you know, they have no money to pass on. And so, but other people just do. And they're like, well, it builds character to struggle. And it's like, yeah, it does build character. And also makes people commit suicide. You know, there are people that are struggling that could benefit from a little help from the world.
Cause like there's equality, and then there's, is it equity? No.
Yeah, it's equity and equality.
Yeah, because like equality is like it's fair across the board, whereas right. equity is like it's not fair across the board, but like it's everyone is on the same level. Just like right. the people who are more struggling do receive more help, so they're up there with the people who can do it by themselves.
Yeah, and the world is an unequal place. It is a things are. It's like. The whole American dream of anybody can be anything. That's not true. We have different starting points, and it's harder for some people to get to a certain point than other people. Depends on where we start, how much money we have, what the color of our skin is. There's all kinds of things that affect that. And so it's the whole, and we're having a backlash right now because people are like, white people are prejudiced against. We're the roughest, white men are getting the worst controversial, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, no, it's not. No, it's not happening.
We have a threat to not be on top anymore. We should panic.
right. Somebody's trying to keep us from having our privileges. It's like, okay, all right. You know, I've never been punished for being a white male. Mm-hmm. I've never had any prejudice. No. For being a white man. Never. Not in my entire life.
I've not experienced prejudice, but I have been in a situation where I had a friend that was of color who experienced prejudice, and therefore I was like guilty by association, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so like I understand it's a very real thing, and if anything, mostly I have benefited from my privilege, albeit with a few exceptions. And I say that because right. my brother was profiled by a police officer in his teenage years, and I hung out with my brother, so therefore I was profiled by association.
And there's all kinds of levels. Yeah, it's association, it's economic class. I mean, if you are a poor white male that lives in the inner city versus a affluent or middle class white male, there are going to be some the way you look, the way you keep your hair, the way you wear a hat. Mm-hmm. So there are prejudices against people. I think to say that those are worse than what would happen to a person of color is different. But yeah, there are association is a lot, and there are things that. When you put people like, if everybody's poor together, they're going to be treated like a group on their own. Yep. So this group of people, whatever their race is, they're no good. Those poor people could be in homes if they wanted to be. Mm-hmm. They just choose. They don't want to be in a home because it's easy to be on the streets. Like, no, that is not correct. It is not easy to be on the street.
No.
And people are not choosing to be on the street.
No. No one chooses that. It's due to the circumstances that are beyond our control.
And mental illness, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. If you're mentally ill, there's prejudice against you. So it's all these different levels of stuff.
And, you know, like us as humans, like we tend to focus on the bad rather than the good or what we have in common.
Yeah.
It's very easy for us to hyper-fixate on that instead of being grateful for what we have, which even me saying that does in fact come from a place of privilege, because there's some people who don't have that they don't have anything to be grateful for, except right. to be alive, which I guess is the ultimate gift if you look at it that way.
Yeah. and that's the thing. I think it's sometimes gratitude is about sometimes, you know, like we had our power out, but we had I mean, we were fine. We were in a house that was covered from the storm. We were not, we had no house damage. It was a little annoying, but I mean, it was not, but it's easy to get caught up in that and to get bitter about whatever's happened to you crisis-wise, instead of looking at, oh, there are people, massive amounts of people that don't even have shelter. When you look at some other countries, their shelter system is different. Their poverty is different than our poverty.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. It is different in that aspect. There's definitely a poor spectrum. And I guess there's like a rich spectrum, but like the middle class has been completely fucking wiped out. Thanks, Reagan.
Yeah, there's no middle class anymore. We got that. We can be proud of that in America.
Yeah, you
We've totally wiped out the one income middle class family that used to be able to survive.
nuked that.
We got rid of that. That's
Yeah.
something good that America's done.
But you know what? Even despite all these shitty problems and the prejudice, the lack of equity and even shreds of equality, if we focused on good stuff, on what we have in common, I think we could get a lot more done, especially just understanding the weight of how a simple gesture with a friend, a simple hangout with a friend, a simple conversation with a friend really just affects us.
Simple things can really, there is righteous indignation. There are right reasons to be angry. There are reasons to protest and do civil disobedience. And those are all legitimate ways to express and to try to make change. But it's also there, I know people that are in very, very difficult situations that have the most positive viewpoint of anybody. And they're just like, you know what? I'll just keep moving. These are my blessings. I'm going to keep moving. I get frustrated. So, I mean, it's a state of mind. You can, and most of the time it's like people like me, where it's just like you fight, think of the things you don't have and you get negative and you're just like blah, blah, blah. And then you don't think about all the positives,
It's, I mean, I'm just kind of learning about how to be grateful for that stuff. Like, I get, I don't know, like, I guess I've kind of always been in that mindset of like, just push forward, And it might be some spoilers ahead. I don't know. It's already out on Peacock, but Asteroid City, I have a different outlook on since I've like read about it some. And like, there was that scene with like Jason Schwartzman and Adrian Brody, where he, like the part where he like completely just leaves the Asteroid City play and goes and walks to the director, and he's like, "I still don't understand my character. I don't know what I'm supposed to do." And he's like, "That's okay. Just keep going. Keep saying the lines. Keep doing it. Keep going." It has just like more of a motivational meaning to me now. Like, even if you don't know the lines, even if you don't know the character, just say something. Just do something. Just keep going.
And I think that fits in well with the whole mental health theme of this podcast. And it is very hard, I think. It's not about like, oh, stop being depressed if you're struggling with depression or whatever. But it is like, do your best to keep moving, because this current situation or the current way you feel doesn't mean that's the permanent way you're going to feel. And so I know you're suffering, and I'm not asking you just to keep suffering, but I am asking you to try to move forward, try to find things to be grateful for. And sometimes those are tiny little things. And, find something to be grateful for, something to have gratitude in. And I think that's a helpful way to sort of survive our times.
I think it's, for me, I don't know, it helps me out, but it's the small things that form the bigger picture, It's comedy, it's Groucho Marx, it's fucking it's all this, it's art, it's paintings, it's Picasso, it's Van Gogh, it's the people in your life that all these small interactions and art and stuff and just all of it, all these small things add up to this bigger picture of like, oh, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm alive.
And you're an artist, you know, you create art. And I think that something like when you create a piece of art or even a small piece of art or even a silly meme, it's taking something and manipulating it or changing it, its form into something mm-hmm. different. And I think there is joy from creativity if you have the ability to do that, if you have the time to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are people that find things in these very low wage, minimum wage jobs that are mind numbing. They find ways to survive that. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't have to, because they shouldn't have to have a mind numbing job. But people are able to find something in that where they're just like, yeah, this is, so I like this part, or I'm going to enjoy this part, or whatever.
I have pride in putting this McDouble together.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, and it's just like, I don't know, like, so, I mean, this is not a big deal, but like, so I ordered a Jimmy John's sandwich. Mm-hmm. Jimmy John's, we'd love to have you as a sponsor if you want to join on. But I ordered a tuna sandwich. They immediately called me back. We have no tuna. And I'm like, then I'll take a turkey sandwich. No problem, right? Mm-hmm. So when I went to the bathroom. When I came back, it was there, and they had brought a cookie. I didn't order a cookie, but mm-hmm. they brought me a cookie. I was like, that's really nice. You didn't have to bring me a cookie. So, I mean, I don't know if the man, I don't know who it was, but it was like, I'm bringing him a cookie. And so it was a tiny little thing that was like, here, have something sweet that's bad for you and will clog your arteries. But it was a very good cookie. So I ate the whole thing.
Was it a nice gesture, or were they trying to murder
Were they trying
you?
To kill me? It's a big cookie too. I mean, so
it's just, and it's hard. It's hard to think about it in the moment of like, of doing the nice thing, the kind thing.
If you are doing kind things for others, sometimes I think that helps you recognize the kindness that other people have towards you. Mm-hmm. It's like you are in that mode of understanding what kindness and gratitude is.
Mm-hmm. If
you know, and then sometimes people tell you.
And you know, man, I find inspiration in like the weirdest places. But there's this quote that is coming to mind from like a song by the MC5, "Ramblin' Rose." It takes 5 seconds. 5 seconds to decide if you're going to be the problem. Are you going to be the solution to the problem?
Wow. And nice.
Yeah, it's very weirdly motivational. And of course, in that context, it was like way more political. But like, you can apply that same kind of like fierceness and like and energy to life. Like, it really does. It really is just 5 seconds to decide if you're going to be the problem or the solution to it.
And that doesn't mean that you are just lying back and taking what the world has to give. Mm-mm. But it's how do you deal with it? You know, like you hear, we have these horrible tragedies that happen, you know, like
Maui,
the guy that does America's Most Wanted or did America, his kid got killed by a serial killer. And so, yeah, he's angry and whatever, but he takes that energy and puts it into something. Can I use this to make the world a better place? So he uses mm-hmm. that anger. There's all kinds of examples of people taking righteous anger and utilizing it to fix a problem or doing something. Yeah. And he had the right just to go into his house and never come out again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, his son was beheaded by a serial killer, his little boy.
Yeah, that's tough. That's fucking, whew.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure there was some of that, but I think it's like you decide eventually, are you going to move on or are you going to let this destroy you? And I've never been in that kind of situation, so I don't know what I would do. I would hope that eventually I would be able to say, I want to put some kind of energy out in the world to show that, you know, this is not beating me. This is not the end all of me.
Yeah.
This is a tragedy and a horrible thing, but it is not my whole life story.
Yeah. And I mean, in that moment, like, it's, of course, you need to grieve, but you really just can't let it destroy you. You can't. Don't let them win. Don't let that win.
Yeah.
But you know, Jeff, I think I think we've kind of reached this logical conclusion, and I really think my final thought on this is just have gratitude and realize that the fact that you're here and the fact that you can better the lives of other people around you just with small actions and just your presence is an incredible thing that no one can take away from you. Like, no one can take away you from you. You are you. And I'm glad that you're here.
And my final thought, that's a really good thought, and I totally agree. I have a friend that just went under a quintuple bypass. I think it was quintuple, or they might have just done four. But anyway, so we were talking about afterlife and whatever, and he said, you know, there's a Neil Gaiman comic book called Sandman.
Oh, I love Sandman.
And so apparently Death, who is this beautiful gothic young lady, comes to a child and says, I'm ready, it's time. And the child goes, it's not fair, I'm only 12. And her response was, you got the same thing that everybody else got, a lifetime. And that's the whole deal of, yes, we all get a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And we just don't know what that lifetime is going to be. It might be 10 years, 60 years, 100 years. We all get a lifetime.
Yeah.
And so we're all in the same, we're all struggling with the same things. We're all fighting with the same things. Even the wealthy, they're not struggling with the monetary things, but they're struggling with the same kinds of
with issues. Loneliness.
Still and, a lot. Yeah, loneliness. Yeah. So.
And, you know, it goes against everything in my bones because, I mean, but if I want to apply radical empathy, I have to sympathize with that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we're all human beings.
Mm-hmm. But also fuck the rich. And that's been our podcast.
And on that note,
we're going to sign off here. That's just my opinion. As always, thank you everyone for listening. And as always, we're your host. I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeff. Take care of yourself and be kind to yourself also.